Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From Mark chapter 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. This is our text. For our second Lenten midweek service now, following Ash Wednesday, we are taken back to the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. These events certainly do mark the beginning of the ministry of our Lord Jesus. So why? Why was Jesus baptized and why was he tempted? The answer, of course, is the same as the question of why he was conceived and born here into this world. It was all done for us. More words from the book of Hebrews, this time from chapter 2, clearly state Jesus' work is for us, for mankind. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but the offspring of Abraham. So Jesus has come here for us and for our salvation. It began with his incarnation, as foretold first in Genesis chapter 3, where the promise of Satan's destroyer was first made. Again, we hear it in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, where the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. As we heard in our focus from last week, the second verse of our theme hymn, he sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. Now born here into this world for us baptized. The hymn continues. Jesus was baptized in uniformity with us. He who had no sin needed no baptism. But we who have much sin needed Jesus to be baptized for us. In so doing, he became sin for us, stepping into our stead and our place, bearing the full load of our sin in his own holy body to the cross. And so when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, into his death, Paul says in Romans chapter 6. And so when Jesus died on the cross, you died upon the cross. When he rose again from the dead, you were right there with him, rising again from the dead. Jesus' own robe of righteousness covers over you. And so you are blameless. You are innocent in the sight of God because of his dear Son, Jesus. Having been baptized, Jesus then was driven out into the wilderness, Mark's gospel tells us, but not by Satan, but by God the Holy Spirit. The Greek word translated there as driven literally means to throw out. So the Spirit of God threw Jesus out into the wilderness. It was just like the Israelites from of old, having been set free from slavery in Egypt. They were then going through the waters of the Red Sea, baptismal waters, as Paul would later equate. They were taken then out into the wilderness of Sinai. But Jesus himself did not go reluctantly out into the wilderness. He was ready. He knew exactly what it all would mean. He knew what was needed, and he was willing. For us he bore his holy fast and hungered sore. The Israelites had wandered for 40 years on simple manna and quail. Jesus went for 40 days without any food at all, sorely tired and sorely hungry, relying on no human will or power. Jesus clung to the word of God alone. For us, temptation sharp he bore. Mark records none of the actual temptations that the Lord Jesus faced against Satan in the wilderness, but he simply states that Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. Hearing that, for over a solid month, the Lord Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. And temptations are not simply thoughts that come in and out and go away quickly, leaving no damage behind. You and I, we know the agony of facing temptations in this life. You and I know what accompanies such temptation, the circumstances and the conditions that the devil and his demons use to attack. Jesus endured all of these as well. He himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus endured temptation so that he could help you and me when we are thus tempted, for he knows all that we endure, all that we go through. And for us, the tempter overthrew. In addition to being able to help us through the midst of our temptations, the Lord Jesus was tempted so that he could overthrow the tempter, overthrow Satan himself, defeat him once and for all. And so Jesus lived out the entirety of God's law, his perfection and righteousness completely. Jesus resisted each and every temptation that Satan could throw at him, so that there was no weapon left to use against Jesus. Even death, that wage of sin, could not defeat or hold on to Christ for long. Jesus bore the death for all, and the death of all. Every last bit of death that is owed for every single sin ever that has been committed was meted out to Jesus. He took it all upon himself for you. No questions asked, no reluctance, and no hesitation. From the third verse of the Lenten hymn, "A lamb goes uncomplaining forth," these words are granted to us. "Yes, Father, yes, most willingly I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me." That is the wondrous and amazing love of God that is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. This love of God certainly contrasts with the wickedness of this broken world. You and I, we know the depths of our own sin. We know the weight and the burden of the sins of others around us. We suffer the consequences of those who care not for the word of God or love his righteousness. And it is a heavy load to bear. And yet Jesus knew it even more. Yes, Jesus endured the lying and the slandering and the betraying of his own beloved disciples, of his own religious leaders, of his own chosen people. But he also entered into this world knowing the full hatred of mankind toward God. Before the flood, God announced that he knew every inclination of man's heart was only evil all the time. And as Solomon wrote, "There's nothing new under the sun." Our sinful desires, our sinful treachery, have not changed. They will continue to exist in these bodies of death until the Lord Jesus returns on the last day. But even knowing all of this, true vileness and treachery, the Lord Jesus came. No, not to lord it over us, not to show us a better way or a better path, not to show us to try harder in this life, not to judge us or to condemn us, but in order to save us. The Father offers up his Son, desiring our salvation. Oh, love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation. No love can compare with the love of God. We cannot fathom how great, how deep, how wide it is. But we are truly, truly blessed to receive that great love and the joy that comes from knowing Christ as God's dear Son, the love of God made into us, into our flesh. Many got to see that love of God firsthand in person. They got to hear his voice, touch his flesh, see his face. You now get to know that same love of God through his holy word, through the waters of holy baptism, and through his own flesh and blood he feeds to you in his supper. That is the same Jesus, the love of God, the one who comes here to his people, to you, to dwell in your midst, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.